You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Attention BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager is settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement and get a $50 bonus every time you refer a friend to BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Ohio only. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here today to talk about a very interesting topic. Again, bringing in one of our friends from PFF, Arjun Menon. Arjun, how you doing?
Doing good. Happy to be talking football on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. So excited to jump into this topic.
Yeah, this is a good one too. And Arjun does some outstanding stuff for PFF. In fact, all the PFF interns we've had a great time having on the show. You work in the R&D department. You work for Eric Eager, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And all kinds of interesting studies. Always love to talk football with them when I get a chance. And Arjun's been on about three or four times now. But going to talk today about yards before contact and yards after contact in the rush game, something that's of very great interest to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and when we start talking about kind of the progression of how it's impacted the Ravens, I think there's a lot of interesting ideas that we can kind of build off of and some interesting topics that we can talk about in relation to this idea. So I kind of just created it as a way to just like see like what teams stood out where and like which teams were above average in both, or like which teams had running backs that generated a lot of yards after contact, but maybe weren't put in the best situations before contact. So that was kind of like the premise behind me creating the graph I did yesterday.
All right, let's put that up on the screen here. So this is from 2021 only.
Yeah.
So Ravens have a little bit different situation. Lamar Jackson's not with the team the whole year, and the running back situation, a complete mess, frankly, with some older vets being brought in to replace a couple of guys who were great stylistic fits for the offense, for Roman's offense. One power guy in Gus Edwards and a very elusive and also powerful runner in J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah. And so, as we can see on the graph, Ravens had the second highest yards before contact per attempt, but had a below average yards after contact per attempt. So kind of before we talk about the Ravens, I wanted to like share the four steps that I like the four ways I kind of interpreted yards before contact per attempt. And I'm going to rank them in like in in order of its like importance. So first, I kind of like attribute yards before contact per attempt to good offensive line play. I think that can generate a lot of holes for running backs to hit, and you're not facing D linemen as much as you're facing linebackers and safeties. So first up, you know, if you have a good offensive line, that probably helps your yards before contact. Second, I would attribute this to good offensive coordinators or good head coaches scheming up good run plays to where running backs aren't taking on defensive linemen as much, or they, you know, they're putting their offensive linemen and running backs or quarterbacks, because this is including quarterbacks right now, in good situations to hit holes or get them in open space. Third, I would also partially attribute this to a quarterback's mobility and how much influence they have in the run game. As you can see, the top four teams are the Ravens, the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Bills. The Ravens and the Eagles have like a read option style offense, or, you know, the Ravens used to, but the Eagles heavily lean on their run game in 2021, and they had a dominant offensive line to do that, which is why I think they're number one. And even though the Bills and the Chiefs are two of the most pass happy teams in the NFL, the Chiefs ran a ton of RPOs last year because of the way that defenses were playing them. And then obviously Josh Allen is an athletic freak. So that, you know, QB mobility is very important. And then finally, running back explosiveness, I think, matters a little bit in this metric in yards before contact. And, you know, that's something the Ravens were desperately lacking last year from the running back room.
Okay. So a lot to unpack there, but that's great stuff. Really appreciate you taking through this. The first is, I look at this graph as a whole, and one of the things I look for when I see a XY graph of any sort is whether there's correlation between the two things. I don't see a particularly strong correlation. I'm not seeing a line to me. I'm not saying there's nothing, but do you have a correlation coefficient for this? But none of it says linear relationship between these two things.
That's a great point. So I looked into it yesterday, and I looked into it going back to 2014. So I looked at it from 2014 to 2021 and then 2017 to 2021. So interestingly enough, the 2017 to 2021 years, I kind of like attributed to like the NFL changing to a wide zone scheme with Kyle Shanahan and McVay getting hired. There, the correlation coefficient was like -0.15. So as your yards per contact increase, your yards after contact would decrease.
But just to be clear, -0.15 is virtually no correlation.
Yeah, exactly. But then when I look back to 2014, there was a correlation of -0.4, which is pretty significant in football. That's almost like quarterback stability. So I'm not, you know, that's a little interesting. I'm not sure, you know, why that jump happened. I think, you know, like I said, I partially attributed, that's why I wanted to look at 2017 to 2021. Maybe it was a different, there was different run schemes being brought onto the NFL. And in 2014 through 2016, maybe there were some different run schemes that allowed that caused this giant gap in correlation between the two time periods. But yeah, that there is a significant correlation when you look and increase the sample size back to 2014.
That's very interesting. So it's 2014 to 2016 is the 0.4 correlation, because just to talk in general terms for people who may not know what correlation coefficient is. It's R is between +1 and -1, with +1 representing a perfect linear relationship, not necessarily at a certain slope, but a perfect linear relationship between two variables. So one predicts the other directly by some line. And then a -1 would be it inversely predicts it, meaning it's X, a higher X predicts a lower Y, if that makes sense. Yeah. So you get a downward sloping line, but otherwise exactly predicted by a line at -1. So it's when you see things that are close to zero, it means there's almost no relationship between two variables. Mm-hmm. Things when a variable is out there and it's something like 0.4, that is very, very significant correlation, mm-hmm. certainly from the actuarial world. And I'd love for your theories on that. And first of all, define the period. Is 2014 to 2016 and then 2017 on?
Separated? Yeah, so the 0.4, it goes from 2014 to 2021.
Unbelievable. So even with the -0.015 for a five-year period at the end of that, you add 3 years at the beginning and you've got this massive correlation.
Yeah. Again, it's a tough one to kind of like quantify and think about. I guess the only real idea I could have is like the 2014, 2016 teams were playing a lot more single high, or defenses were playing a lot more single high. So you have an extra guy in the box. So if you increase your yards before contact per attempt, that means you're decreasing your yards after contact, which means, you know, running backs were probably facing a little bit more heavier boxes. So even if they got a little bit more yards before their first point of contact, they probably had more players around them, which made it harder for them to get a lot more yards after contact. That's my theory. It's something definitely like that could be worth diving deeper into.
That could be possible, particularly at the end of games, since so many running attempts are kind of forced running attempts or time, work on time. And maybe we've got less of that today with, you know, offenses doing more of what Jackson and the Ravens or, Hurts and other quarterbacks have done to try and run efficiently rather than just run to close out a game.
Yeah.
All right. Outstanding stuff here. So this is just 21. And let's take a look at the Ravens for a second, because everybody here is interested in the Ravens. The Ravens are on the right side. They're slightly below the yards at the average in terms of yards after contact per tackle. And the scale of this chart would kind of belie something that's worse for the Ravens than it is. They had 2.7, it looks like, yards after contact per attempt relative to a league average of maybe they were 2.75 and the league average is 2.85. Does that sound right?
Yes.
So that's not too terrible, but they were way above the league average in terms of yards before contact per attempt. So they were at the league average looks like it was at 1.3. Mm-hmm. And if you're wondering why I'm reading out these numbers, I know some of you will be listening to this on a podcast. I just wanted to give you as much as possible. And we're at what, 1.85 again, maybe in terms of the yards before contact per attempt?
A little bit less. I'd say like 1.82.
Okay. So, but 0.52 more in terms of yards, than the league average in terms of yards before contact. And that, in this case, that's about 40% more than the league average in terms of yards before contact. That's remarkable.
Yeah. But this is the interesting part, which I want to get to in my next graph, which is when I filtered out quarterback runs.
Great.
Look like the Ravens' yards before contact fell from 1.84 to about 1.59. Like that's like about 0.3 yard difference or 0.25 yard difference when you filter out Lamar's runs. And this goes back to my point that I was like, yards before contact is partially driven by running back or quarterback explosiveness. You don't have Lamar Jackson getting to the second level. You're kind of relying on like Devontae Freeman doing that for most and Latavius Murray doing that for most of the season last year. And they're not the most explosive runners, especially since they're not on the rookie contract anymore, and they've kind of gone through the progression of having a ton of volume in the NFL. So I think this was a pretty interesting one, and someone prompted me to make this from Twitter. So I think this was an interesting graph.
I appreciate that. I think I asked you yesterday too about this. That's great that you could do this. A couple of things come to mind. First of all, Lamar Jackson is still an 11th man to defend. So he's still providing those running backs yards before contact. And I think that's the point you were making before, right? About the just having him there is improving the other players.
Yeah. And I'm going to highlight something that my friend at formerly a PFF, but still one of my good friends, Tate Seth, I know you've had him on the podcast before. You know, he kind of looked into Lamar's gravity, and like the thing with Lamar is like every time he hands the ball off to a running back, the running back instantly has an expected yards of like 0.03 or 0.05 above the league average. So he's already giving running backs like a head start when he hands the ball off to them. But, you know, when your top two guys are missing due to season ending injuries, it's tough to really like take advantage of that, which I think we see in this graph.
Now, 0.03 or 0.05 still wouldn't explain the 0.2 something difference so you made the 4 points here. So offensive line play for the Ravens, I think, would have actually been a detriment last year. Maybe not as bad as it was in terms of pass blocking, but I guess the Ravens did have a good interior offensive line that might have helped them.
Yeah. And so I think that's a really good point, which is why I really want to talk about the next graph. I mean, the Ravens in 2020 were just complete outliers. And part of that was having Ronnie Stanley and Orlando Brown healthy. Stanley was only healthy for a couple of games in 2020. Yeah. But I mean, Orlando Brown is still an upgrade over Alejandro Villanueva, especially in the run game. So, and I mean, in 2020, they damn near averaged 2.4 yards before contact, which is like really, really impressive. And I think the point here was, so in 2019, and I'm going to fast forward real quick, because in 2019, you can see the Ravens didn't really have a great yard before contact. And I think part of this is because teams didn't respect Lamar in the passing game. Because if you remember in 2018, didn't really show much as a passer in the playoff game. You know, the Chargers defense kind of, you know, tricked him up a little bit. So teams didn't respect him in the passing game. So I think what happened was linebackers bit against the run a little bit more, and they stopped they did an okay job stopping the run and getting hands on players before contact. But that opened up a ton of stuff in the passing game for the Ravens, which led to Lamar's MVP season. So going back to 2020, teams stopped biting hard against the run, or teams stopped trying to stop the run as much because they knew Lamar could get the ball down the field, which is why I think the yards before contact jumped pretty high in 2020.
Do you have a 2019 and 2020, do you have a quarterback filtered out graph for each?
I don't. Okay. I don't for that. I'm sorry.
Let me just make the point that for those of you listening to this on a podcast, the Ravens are at approximately 2.4, maybe 2.38 or something yards before contact per attempt. The next highest team in the entire NFL is New England, and they're in the 1.85 range?
Yep.
Okay. That is about as absurd as Ron Hunt getting hit by the pitch 50 times and the next guy in the National League being 9. I mean, it's just this is a absurd outclassing the league, and it's not the year I would have expected it. I mean, obviously the 2019 team was terrific, but had good offensive linemen across the board. 2020 team had more problems with some of the right tackle play in particular after Ronnie Stanley was hurt, but also, you know, other places on the line. This is very surprising.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I wanted to look at things in like 3-year periods as well, just to list off some stats for people. This isn't something we have to look at. Here are the yards before contact, filtering out scrambles and sneaks. So this can include quarterback designed runs like read options and stuff, but this is like filtering out when a quarterback drops back and scrambles and all that. And also running back and keeps running back handoffs and QB designed runs. Lamar Jackson's yards before contact from 2019 to 2021, 3.1. That's the NFL average is like 1.3, 3.1 for Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, 2.48, Gus Edwards, 1.83. So all of those three above the league average when it comes to yards before contact kind of shows, you know, I think part of that is playing with Lamar. I think that gives them a ton of opportunities in the run game because linebackers don't have the ability to kind of, you have to account for Lamar Jackson in some sort of way. Like either you have a weak side linebacker or weak side defensive end that has to hold their ground in case Lamar keeps the ball. So that's one less defender focused on the running backs, and which is why, you know, the Ravens always have one of the best rushing attacks year in and year out.
Okay. That I would agree with all of that. I guess I would throw in another question here, because I would have expected a pretty strong correlation over 19 through 21 over any period. You're telling me it really does exist over 2014 to 21, which is interesting. But 2019 through 21, I really would have expected a strong correlation between yards before contact per attempt and yards after contact per attempt. And one of the reasons is what I often talk about on my show is that if you get good second level opportunities, first contact in the second level opportunities for your running back, they're engaging against smaller men. Mm-hmm. And that is a great opportunity to break plays and make longer plays. But come to think of it, you also need speed in those situations to get some really long runs, because they pump up your average. As anybody who knows, you know, how a 75 yard run often will just jump your average by almost a yard per carry, you know, even halfway through the season. You need some of those to fuel a lot of that. I'm just wondering, you know, why in 2019 we saw what effectively looks like an inverse correlation for the Ravens between YBC and YAC.
Yeah, so I think I kind of hinted at it just because I think teams were so focused on stopping Lamar in the run after what he showed in that playoff performance. They didn't really respect his passing game. And I believe that's the year you guys had Mark Ingram, and you know, he's a pretty physical runner, so he can generate a lot of yards after contact, which is partially why, you know, the Ravens were fourth. And also having Gus Edwards on the team at that time also helps as well. Gus the Bus, that's his nickname for a reason. So yeah, I think the inverse relationship is interesting. And like I said, I think part of that is just because of how the league saw Lamar after an okay 2018 finish, where he was kind of doing most of the damage with his legs and not his arms. But as I showed in my graph in 2020, teams had to respect Lamar Jackson a little bit more. And even though 2020 wasn't like an MVP season for Lamar, the Ravens still had one of the most potent rushing attacks in the NFL.
Right. All right. Outstanding stuff here. Now, if I'm a person who doesn't like Greg Roman for some reason, I think there's a lot of folks out there who are Baltimore fans who are not real big fans of him, but I am. And I think that, you know, he deserves a lot of the credit for obviously what's happened with the Baltimore run game. He certainly designed it. Is there anything even remotely negative about Roman's scheme within these graphs? Because it seems like a lot of the yards before contact per attempt, as you mentioned, scheme is one of the factors that helps you get there. Is Roman entirely benefiting from who Lamar Jackson is? Or is Roman's scheme a contributor, do you think, in a positive way to what the Ravens have been able to achieve run-wise?
I think he's definitely a contributor. I wouldn't say he's like the full package, because like I said, there's other factors involved with offensive line play and quarterback mobility. Because like but I do think it's important, because even with Tyler Huntley at the helm for the second half of the season, the Ravens were still, you know, way above the league average in terms of yards before contact per attempt. So even though like Huntley is a mobile quarterback, no quarterback is really comparable to Lamar in terms of their athleticism and agility. So I think you have to give credit to him, especially in the run game, something that the Ravens have been near the top of the league at for the past 3 years. What he brings to the table in the pass game in terms of his play calling is, you know, that's, I think, the real talking point, because that kind of hampers the Ravens in the playoffs when you need to be able to pass the ball to win and beat teams like the Chiefs and the Bills. But in terms of his running play calling, or his rush play calling specifically, I think he's done a tremendous job. And, you know, even with all the offensive line injuries and running back injuries last year, the Ravens still had an above average rushing attack.
All right. RJ, do you happen to have the 2021 data split out for Huntley and Jackson?
I do not. I just have the whole data.
No problem. We know a lot of things changed with Lamar out of there, including a much different target situation in their passing game that wasn't as good. But great stuff. As always, anything else we need to talk about? I don't want to cut you off if you've got more to show here.
In terms of the graphs, no. I think I was able to get everything I wanted to talk about. I guess the last thing is another idea of like how the league has kind of changed their stance on Lamar since he's taken over as quarterback. In 2021, teams bit against play action when Lamar was the starting quarterback the least amount since he's taken over, which kind of shows that like teams aren't biting as much against the run, because they're expecting play action, showing they kind of do value Lamar as a passer and what he brings to the table in the passing game, especially in play action, showing, you know, that's one of the metrics we're trying to use to evaluate gravity, like a player's gravity at PFF.
Okay, so I think you said just two contradictory things about 2019. It doesn't mean they can't fit together or they can't each be factors, but just to clarify that, originally you said they didn't respect Lamar Jackson as a passer in 2019 after he'd been exclusively pretty much a runner in 2018, not a particularly efficient passer.
Yeah.
And then you said that they bid on play action actually less in 2019 than
more.
They bid more on it. Okay, then that's in line.
Sorry. So this is interesting. From 2018 to 2019, teams bit more against play action against the Ravens because they, like I said, they were trying to stop the run, which explains their point in the graph here. But going from 2020 to 2021, teams bit less against play action against the Ravens.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Now, so I'll tell you, as an analyst, one of the problems I have is defining play action for Lamar Jackson, because he doesn't do the typical turn your back on the field play action. He does the what I call a forward facing fake, where we can go to the mesh, and occasionally goes to the mesh, but that's actually very rare that he goes to the mesh on a pass play. If he goes to the mesh, it's usually indication that it's going to be a run play.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like I'm not the one who charts play actions and stuff for PFF, so I wouldn't say I'm like too in line with how they define a play action pass, but you know, there's a lot of smart analysts, and they've been trained by people who work for the league. So I'm sure they have a good grasp on what a play action is.
All right. Outstanding. So I know the definition you use has to include these forward facing mesh fakes, and a lot of them are just hand checks. And obviously the sideways play action fakes that you see out of pistol, for example, or even out of under center quarterbacks where they move to the side, they can be of various levels of intricacy. They don't always turn their back all the way on the field, but in Jackson's case, there's this large group of forward facing fakes and really a relatively small group of turn your back to the field play action, which you can run that out of pistol or you can run it from under center. So Jackson, even though he takes almost all his snaps in the shotgun, he still is able to run turn your back play action, but it's just not as prevalent for him.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic stuff, RJ. And I, as always, I appreciate you coming on and explaining this. Tell people where they can find your work.
You can find me on Twitter at ArjunMenon100. You can also find my work at PFF. You know, I just go to my, you can search up like PFF Arjun on Google, and you should be able to go to my bio and see some of the articles I've put out. But again, thanks. Thanks for bringing me on today, Ken. I really appreciate it.
You are welcome anytime. You know, you always bring us great material with a Raven slant. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short and discuss something you're passionate about, and this is kind of ideal. I mean, this is a fairly narrow topic, but this is in tremendous depth within 25 minutes is exactly what I talk about sometimes. If you've got anything that's, it doesn't have to be analysis stuff, it could just be something you're observing in the game, hit me up. DMs on Twitter are always open. Love to hear from you, get you on really quickly. Arjun, thanks again, my friend.
Yep. Thanks again, Ken. Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.